Thanks again, and tonight we're turning to a short passage this evening. It's in Hebrews chapter 1, just a short reading from Hebrews chapter 1. And the title I've put for tonight's message is The Supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we read in Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So that's our reading, short reading. It's the opening to the epistle to the Hebrews, and we see how the epistle to the Hebrews opens up with an important declaration. God has spoken to us in his Son. He has spoken to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is through the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone that we can have salvation. So God is speaking to us through his word, and the question is, what will we do about it? Will we accept it or refuse it? It says later on in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 12, verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. The letter was written to Hebrew believers at a strategic time in history. The temple in Jerusalem was still standing, and the sacrifices were still being offered there. But in a few years' time, both the city and the temple would be destroyed, and the Jewish nation would be scattered, and this would include the Jewish believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people were second generation believers, having been won to the Lord Jesus Christ by those who had known the Saviour during his ministry on earth. And this evening we will look at the Lord Jesus Christ, his supremacy, and we will examine the various gospel truths concerning our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, the word better is used 13 times, as the writer, who it's believed is the Apostle Paul, shows the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation over the Hebrew system of religion. For instance, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 4 is better than the angels, who brings in a better hope. Hebrews 7 verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is that better hope, and he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Hebrews 8 and verse 6, it says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Another word repeated throughout the book of Hebrews is the word perfect. It means a perfect standing before God, and we can establish a perfect standing before God only through the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. Hebrews 10 and 14, it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This offering is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, where he died for our sins. It says he by himself, in verse 3, purged our sins and is sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. A third important word in the book of Hebrews is the word eternal. We see in Hebrews 5, verse 9, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation. It says in Hebrews 5, 9, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Through his death, the Lord Jesus Christ has obtained eternal redemption for us, sharing with believers the promise of eternal inheritance. A few chapters on in Hebrews 9, we read in verse 11 to 15, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation he offers is the better way, because his blessings are eternal and he gives us a perfect standing before God. The religious system under Mosaic law was imperfect because it could not accomplish a once-for-all redemption that was eternal. This once-for-all redemption is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, who by himself has purged our sins. Hebrews 9:28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Hebrews 10:10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So we see the book of Hebrews, it exalts the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If we have all that we have in and through him, there should be no desire for anything else. The book of Hebrews, it teaches the assurance of eternal life through our great and living high priest who can never die. Also, we can see, in as we look at Hebrews, various passages in Hebrews 7, in verse 22 to 28, we can read, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." What a Saviour the Lord Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
He saves to the uttermost. That's eternally only those who come to God through faith in him. And as I mentioned, the book of Hebrews, it exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. And this holy, high and holy theme is maintained throughout the entire book. The prophets, the Old Testament prophets, they were held in the highest esteem by the Jewish people. And this book sets out the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ over the prophets. He is superior in his person. He is the very Son of God, and not merely a man called by God. We see from the passage in Hebrews 1 that it is clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. This description could never be applied to mere mortal man. The brightness of his glory, it's referring to the Shekinah glory of God that dwelt in the tabernacle and the temple. We could read of this glory in Exodus 40 when the tabernacle was erected. In Exodus 40 verse 34 and 35 it says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Also we read of this glory whenever the ark was brought into the temple in 1 Kings 8 verse 10 and 11, where it says, "And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." The Lord Jesus Christ is the radiance of God's glory. God's glory is how we describe all his attributes: grace, truth, goodness, mercy, justice, knowledge, power, eternality. All that he is, God is these things. He is the great I Am. In contrast, our glory, people's glory, is granted to us. For an example, would be the coronation of a king or a queen. Because there's no intrinsic glory, the only glory a king or a queen has is when you give them a crown and a robe to sit on their throne during a coronation ceremony. So we see the only glory that we can have is glory that is granted to us. But the glory that is God's is his in his essence. God cannot be deglorified, because glory is his nature. You cannot touch his glory. It cannot be added to or taken away. It is his very being. It is impossible to separate the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ from the nature of God. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 10 and 30, "I and my Father are one." In verse 3 of the passage we read in Hebrews chapter 1, we see the phrase in verse 3, the phrase "express image." We'll see, "who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." This express image, it carries the idea of the exact imprint. The Lord Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the very substance of God. Colossians 2 verse 9 and 10, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Yes, in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Many false cults today, they deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this verse, we see the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. "Only the Lord Jesus Christ could say, 'He that hath seen me hath seen the Father.'" John 14:9. When you see the Lord Jesus Christ, you see the glory of God. Because in John 1 verse 14, we see, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In his work, the Lord Jesus Christ is also superior to the prophets. He is the creator of the universe. We see this in the last phrase in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 1. It says, "by whom also he made the worlds." And we see how the Lord Jesus Christ, he created all things by his word in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, in the beginning was the Word. We see the Lord Jesus Christ did not have a beginning himself, but he existed from all eternity. As far as we can go back, the Lord Jesus Christ was there. He never was created. He had no beginning, and he himself is God from all eternity. All things were made through him. He himself, he was not a created being. He was the creator of all things. This includes mankind, the animals, the heavenly planets, the angels, all things visible and invisible. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Amen. In him, the Lord Jesus Christ is life. He was and he is the source of life. And when we accept him as our Savior, we are born again. We receive spiritual life. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, who supplies us with life, is also the light of men. He who gives us life also provides us with light for guidance as we follow life's path. As we see in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ also upholds all things by that same powerful word. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has all the preeminence. So we read this earlier in the morning meeting in Colossians 1, 15-20. It says of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of creation and the God of providence, and he is guiding this universe to its divinely ordained destiny. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source, the centre, and the end of everything that God has to say. The Lord Jesus Christ has a ministry as our great high priest, and we see that by himself he has purged our sins. Yes, there's salvation. It's by himself we see there's salvation in no other except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you can search this book from beginning to end and you'll not find any other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, in John 14, verse 6. And the Bible, as we search the scriptures, it's full of wonderful gospel passages telling us the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is the only way of salvation. The most well-known is John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, when it says, for God so loved the world, it means everybody. Salvation is for all who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not love sin, but he loves people and is not willing that any should perish. God is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. We should all come to repentance. Wiersbe said that of the word repentance, it is a changing of one's mind about sin to the point of turning to it. And perhaps somebody is listening even over the internet, and maybe not yet you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, won't you come to know repentance and true repentance and experience His gracious forgiveness that God, the gracious forgiveness that God shares with all those who call upon Him in faith. And this is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verse 11 to 12, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The teaching here is unmistakable. To have eternal life, you must have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. When we see a universal need for the gospel, it's not just for certain corners, it's a universal need, because all have sinned. Romans 3, verse 23 to 26, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." So we see all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is any thought, word, or deed that falls short of God's standard of holiness and perfection. It is a missing of the mark, a coming short of the target. Sin is lawlessness, we see in 1 John 3, verse 4, and the rebellion of our will against the will of God. Sin is not only doing what is wrong, but the failure to do what we know to be right. As well, it says in James 4, verse 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Romans 14:23. And 1 John 5, verse 17 tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. Sin, it begins in the mind, and when encouraged and entertained, it breaks forth into an act, and that act leads on to death. Sin is often attractive when first contemplated, but hideous in retrospect. So while we see that all men have sinned and continually come short of God's glory, we also see there is a remedy, and that remedy is salvation through our perfect and sinless Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that we can be justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The gospel, it tells us how God justifies sinners as a free gift and by an act of unmerited favour. The word justify means to reckon or declare to be righteous. God pronounces sinners to be righteous whenever they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God justifies the believing sinner, He not only acquits them from all guilt, but clothes them in His own righteousness, thus making us absolutely fit for heaven. The reason God can declare ungodly sinners to be righteous is because the Lord Jesus Christ has freely paid the debt of our sins by His death and resurrection. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour by faith, you are justified. We are justified by grace. We don't deserve it. And we're also justified by faith because we have to receive it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified through His precious blood that was shed for us on the cross at Calvary. Romans 5, verse 8 and 9, "But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Justified by His blood. This is the tremendous price the Lord Jesus Christ paid in order that we might be justified. He had to suffer on the cross at Calvary. He was crucified. What a tremendous cost it was to our Savior to bring about our salvation. We were also justified by power, the same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 4, verse 24 and 25. And we are justified by God, who is the one who reckons us righteous. God, he set forth the Lord Jesus Christ as a propitiation. This is a means by which justice is satisfied. God's wrath is averted, and mercy can be shown on the basis of an acceptable sacrifice. And that acceptable sacrifice was the Lord Jesus Christ, whose redemptive work at Calvary is sufficient to save whosoever will believe on him. Albert Midlane stated the truth in poetry. He said, "The perfect righteousness of God is witnessed in the Saviour's blood. 'Tis in the cross of Christ we trace his righteousness, yet wondrous grace. God could not pass the sinner by. His sin demands that we must die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. The sin is on the Saviour laid. 'Tis on his blood sin's debt is paid. Stern justice can demand no more, and mercy can dispense her store. The sinner who believes is free can say the Saviour died for me, can point to the atoning blood and say, that's made my peace with God." The Bible teaches clearly how to be saved. It says in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Salvation comes through acknowledging to God that Christ is God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and that believing on him and what he has done for us. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen again from the dead, victorious. He has won victory over sin, death, hell, and Satan. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He's a risen Saviour. And if there wasn't a resurrection, we could not be saved today. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 and 5. Yes, so through his abundant mercy, we can be born again anew. We can be born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. God is the source of this salvation. His great mercy is its cause. In the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God indicated his complete satisfaction with the sacrificial work of his Son. Also, that resurrection is a place that all saved people who die will be raised one day from among the dead. This is our living hope, the expectation of being taken home to heaven to be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ and be like him forever. F.B. Meyer calls the living hope the link between our present and future. On the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ has effectively dealt with the problem of our sins to provide for us the way to be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Our sins were placed on him. God made the Lord Jesus Christ to be a sin offering on our behalf, and the claims of the law have been fully satisfied by our perfect sinless substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessed truth it is that he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Amen. That he who knew no righteousness, that we who knew no righteousness ourselves might become the righteousness of God in him. We can never be able to thank God enough for such boundless grace. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And as the one and only God, God desires the salvation of all men, because there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So no man can come to God in any other way. The mediator, it's a go-between. It's one who can stand between two and communicate with both. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both fully God yet fully man, God is able to approach men with the forgiveness of sins. Consequently, any can approach him and by no means be rejected. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." The Lord Jesus Christ is God from all eternity, but he became man in Bethlehem's manger. He represents the whole race of humanity. We see then that there cannot be salvation in any other, not the Virgin Mary, not in angels or saints. There's only one mediator, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, who it says of him in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, "Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." The Lord Jesus Christ, he was and he is pure, outwardly and inwardly, God's unblemished, spotless lamb, therefore a suitable sacrifice on behalf of sinners. He would not have been if he himself had have been in any way defiled. But the Lord Jesus Christ observed perfectly the law, and the Lord Jesus Christ endured perfectly, endured patiently all the shame and indignities to which on the cross to which the wicked men subjected him. We ourselves, we don't like it at all if we get blamed for other people's faults. But the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself. He bore all the judgment due to us, and so we are healed by his stripes. Isaiah 53, verse 5-6, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." All we like the sheep have gone astray, we have turned away every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Through the grace of God, we, as stray sheep, can be brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Our shepherd, the good shepherd, feeding and sustaining us, and our bishop, our overseer, guiding and directing us as we pursue our onward way through the wilderness of this world. Yes, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered on the cross at Calvary at the hands of evil men who misrepresented him and bore false witness concerning him. On the cross he suffered once and for all for our sins. Not his own, he knew no sin, but ours. He the just, we the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. He who went down into death has now emerged triumphantly, bringing over to new creation all who trust in him. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone into heaven, and now here he sits exalted on the right hand of God, in token of God the Father's full satisfaction in the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. To him, all angels, authorities, powers are subject. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns as King, and as we've seen, the Lord Jesus Christ is superior to all the angels and all the prophets and servants of God who have ever appeared on the sacred pages of our Bibles. It is no wonder that God the Father said at the hour of the Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him," Matthew 17, verse 5. Two of the greatest prophets were there with the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. Moses and Elijah, but the Lord Jesus Christ is superior to them. Amen. And perhaps you've heard this message and are maybe listening online and you have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, won't you hear God speak in the Lord Jesus Christ and to heed that word to trust him as Saviour? As we've seen in the passage in Hebrews, he has by himself purged our sins. That shows he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has died on the cross of Calvary for us, for you and for me, to bring about salvation. It's a finished work, it's a complete work. As you see, he's sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. It's a perfect work, and we have so much to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for it. It is all of him, and we bless him and give him all the praise and glory. So if anybody is listening, that even over the internet, as we read in the first at the start, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. So may God bless the message of the gospel. And we're going to finish with just a hymn in the Redemption Songs, in number 173. We're going to sing, "Oh, what a Saviour!"